Hi everyone, I'm Victoria Schnepps, and I am the publisher and founder of Schnepps Media. And today I am delighted as my Power Woman podcast to have the one and only Julie Ratner. Julie is extraordinary on many levels, but today she has the title of doing this creation of the Ellen Hermanson Foundation, of which she is the co-founder and chairman of the board. And that foundation helps endless people because of her own personal tragedy. So we're going to hear all about how the beautiful Julie Ratner has made a big impact on life after a tremendous tragedy. On that happy note, welcome, Julie.
You know what? Thank you. Because joy has come out of a terrible time. You know, I sometimes have to pinch myself and think out of this horrific loss in my life, so much good has come.
Well, let's go back to where this happened. You know, you growing up with your sister, tell us a little bit about your background and about how your relationship with your sister and your family and the impact of her on your life.
So Ellen was 6 years younger than I am. We grew up, we lived in Brookline, Massachusetts. When she was born, we moved to Belmont. And, you know, we only spent 1 year in school together. When she was in kindergarten, I was in sixth grade. We spent 1 year at overnight camp together. She was my little mascot. She was the adoring younger sister. I could do no wrong. As soon as I got my driver's license, I took her everywhere. You know, we would decorate the house for Thanksgiving and for Halloween. And we'd go in the basement with all our arts and crafts material and make designs. And she was a lot of fun. She was also quirky. She was very serious. She was an amazing reader. She was the one who literally read under the sheets at night with a flashlight. She had a kaleidoscopic mind. She taught me. I'm jumping around, but because she grew to be taller and smarter than I am. She was very involved in Jewish organizations growing up. She worked during high school at a local drugstore. She went to Connecticut College and she majored in anthropology and women's affairs. She took her junior year in Israel, which was transformative for her and ultimately for me. She was she spoke Hebrew fluently. I miss her tremendously all the time, especially with the world now in Israel. I would love to talk to her about and see what her take would be on the world now. Though she was so much younger, we were extraordinarily close. After college, she moved to school to New York and went to graduate school at Columbia at the Mideast Institute. And then she ultimately went to journalism school at NYU where she met her husband. During all this time, I had my children. She would come over and we would be two little girls and two women sitting around the table having girl talk / women talk. She was central to everything. When she was getting married, we planned her wedding to every degree, like the dress, the nail polish. I mean, she actually planned it, but it was so much fun when she was pregnant and having her child, whom she named Leora, which, you know, is Hebrew for my light. We were very much a part of all this. You know, she was always there. She was always there. I always talked to her about everything. She understood me more than I think anyone else did. She literally was my heart and soul. And the great tragedy was when Leora was 6 months old, Ellen was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. She was 30.
Wow.
And it was devastating. I must have been living in La La Land. I did not know that you could get breast cancer at such a young age. I had no idea what it meant to have metastatic stage 4 breast cancer. Our father was a radiologist, and he did know, and he had the grace. And
your father was a radiologist?
Yes, in Boston.
You say your father was a radiologist?
Yes, he was.
And here she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Had she had a mammography before?
You know, she did everything. Yes. When she and her husband Hugo decided to get pregnant, she had a full complete checkup. She got a baseline mammogram. This was 1987 or 1988, because Leora was born at the end of 88. She had a mammogram. She had a baseline mammogram. She had a full physical, and because she knew there had been breast cancer in our family. But this was the breast health care, the knowledge was so different then. She had a clean bill of health. She had supposedly a normal mammogram, got pregnant, and had this horrific diagnosis. And Dr. Larry Norton, her oncologist, believed that it was, said it was an estrogen-fed tumor and believed that the pregnancy probably exacerbated what was happening inside her body. And Ellen became, my father, as I started to say, had the grace and strength to not tell us how serious this was, how devastating the diagnosis was. He allowed us all to hope and believe that she would get better. And I truly did believe she would get better. I spoke to her every day. I was there for her as much as I could be. She lived in Brooklyn with her baby. I would pop over all the time. I never went to her treatments because she would leave Leora with me while she went to treatment, and then we would go and pick her up. Ellen would call me at 2 in the morning sometimes because she was scared and she didn't want to wake up Hugo, or she had to go to the hospital because she had a nadir fever and Hugo had to stay home with Leora, and I would go meet her at the emergency room at Sloan Kettering and stay with her. She used her disease and her great skill as a journalist, which you know because you're a journalist, to really ferret out information, to see what the needs were. She became a great, powerful advocate. She was the editor of a newsletter called The Network, which was a newsletter of a cancer society in Washington. She became one of the editors of a newsletter for SHARE. She was very involved with SHARE, which is an organization for women with breast and/or ovarian cancer. She's one of the four founders of the Jewish Healing Center, which is now a national organization, was founded by three rabbis and Ellen. She was the founding
So
director.
how did once the devastating diagnosis came and finally she succumbed to it, what gave you the strength to pick yourself up and do something in her memory?
I think three things happened that were kind of devastating for me. Ellen died in April of 95. Our father died, my father, the radiologist, died 10 months later. And 2 months after that, my marriage ended. And so it was one of the worst years of my life. And I actually did not know how I would go on. I met a wonder right after, and I was defending my dissertation, my doctoral dissertation at Columbia. Right after I defended my dissertation, I met a woman, Vivian Shapiro, who asked me about Ellen. And when I told her about Ellen, she said, "What a remarkable woman. How do you honor her?" And I said, "I don't know. And I need to do that. I need to make sure that Leora never forgets that she had an extraordinary mother who loved every hair in her head, who was there for her. Even from the hospital, she would call up every day and tell her what the drill for the day was, who's gonna, you know, what you wear to school, what you take for lunch, who picks you up. So this child would never feel like, what happens to me?" And so Vivian said, "Well, what do you do when you're not writing doctoral dissertations?" I said, "I run in Central Park. I've run marathons." She said, "Great. We will do a run in 3 months. We're going to call it Ellen's Run." And honestly, it saved my life. It gave me an opportunity to honor Ellen because I realized Ellen's life was so short. And it would break my heart if Leora ever said to me someday, "I don't remember my mother," because Ellen lived for Leora, and Ellen was never going to get to see Leora grow into the magnificent woman she's become. And so it became a cause célèbre for me to make sure that Ellen's memory and the significant work she did as an advocate would continue. And that became our mission. And it became my reason to get up every day and to go on, because what happened to her was so unfair. It was just, you know, she
Well, I
was.
think that life is not fair. I have to cut you off because I know that from that tragedy and from the beginning of Ellen's run, you are now celebrating 30 years
Could you
of
believe it?
helping other people who have breast cancer. And when I went to visit my brother at Southampton Hospital, and I saw the name, the Ellen Hermanson Foundation, on the building, I said,
Isn't that great?
yes.
That's us. And
Julie
you know how we
has
get there.
forever perpetuated her sister's memory and the work. So tell me how from the run, what is the mission now in terms of helping other people?
So the actual mission is to ensure access to state-of-the-art breast health care, is really our mission to women on the East End of Long Island, because that's our catchment area. And we provide this in several ways. One is we have this wonderful close collaboration with Stony Brook Southampton Hospital. When the breast center opened, I thought my work was done. We have a breast center. And then I realized, no, it's just beginning because technology is out of date in 5 years. Things change. So we are always concerned and committed to making sure that the breast center is as technologically advanced as, say, Memorial Sloan Kettering or Cornell Weill or Columbia Presbyterian, that this hospital is as advanced and can offer the same services. Why? Because women who live in this community, whether they can pay for a mammogram or not, deserve access to health care. It's a human right. And Ellen would absolutely say that. I know that and believe it, and so do we. And so we do that. During COVID, we reevaluated our mission or our programs and asked ourselves, are we doing all that we can? And we decided we can do more. And so we created some four partnerships with local women's groups, with Stony Brook, with the Shinnecock Indian Health Services for the women there, with the retreat All Against Abuse, with OLA, and also with Bridgehampton Childcare and Recreational Center. These are all women who are economically challenged. Many have stressful lives, they're heads of households. And for them, their own health is often on the back burner. And or they don't have access to health care, we can help with all that. And so we have these very close collaborations so that these women who are really marginalized community come from marginalized communities will have this access to care. Because it makes all the difference. Early access, early detection makes a huge difference. And so much has been written about that. That say women.
So I know that you are, devoted to keeping this foundation going, and you have a gala coming up, I know, in July to celebrate 30 years of doing this. What would you say if you had a magic wand you want to accomplish in the next 30 years?
If I had a magic wand, I would like to make enough money so that we're really a mom and pop store. I have a half part-time executive director. Everyone who works for us is on an hourly basis because every penny counts. And what I do is like pretty much full time, and I love it. I would like to build more infrastructure so that we can do what we do better, which means expanding our programs, our community partnerships programs, expanding our psychosocial support. We have an oncological social worker who's brilliant. She happens to be a two-time breast cancer survivor herself. She's a clinical social worker. She is kind, loving, empathic. We could use much more of her time. I would like to expand and go deeper to what we do and expand our catchment area, is what I would really like to do. And
Okay,
also.
well, I think this is everything is doable because you know what? You started from zero with the run in Central Park,
Exactly. Started from
and
zero
that Ellen's run is still going on. How
30 years.
do people reach you? What is the best way for people to reach you to either make donations or learn more about getting help?
I would say always
What is
start
the best way?
our website is very accessible. It's www.ellenhermanson.org. That's ELLENHERMANSON.org. Our phone number is 631-907-1952, which is the year Ellen was born, 1952. On the website, there will be a link to take you to register for the run, and there'll be a link to take you to register for the party. Our executive director's phone number is, I'm giving you her landline, I hope it's okay, 631-324-2802. Her name is Mady Schumann, and she is fantastic. Our direct email is info@ellensrun.org. We welcome phone calls, we welcome emails, we respond to everything, and we try to make access as easy as possible. This year, the gala is going, it's a Bridgehampton Tennis and Surf Club. We'll have fabulous dancing, fabulous. It's all going to be wonderful because it's a beautiful venue. And if the night is beautiful, the cocktails are out on the deck overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. And if one's lucky, maybe there'll be a whale cavorting around or some beautiful bird. And then
Well,
we have the dinner. We have a terrific DJ. I want everyone up and dancing and having fun. We have.
I think, I just want to interrupt you because I know that I want to remind everyone about that gala. Every dollar you raise, every penny that you can, goes to the organization to make other people get services. So if they need services, let's repeat one more time the email, the website. Would you say it again?
Yes, and can I just say something? When we funded the breast center in 2009, we said we had only two caveats. No woman is ever turned away because she lacks insurance and can't pay. And figure out how to marry the warmth of the community with the rigor of a teaching hospital. No woman should have to feel alone or afraid, which is why we have a patient navigator and outreach coordinator. If a woman happens to be diagnosed, she's not just sent home and told to figure this out herself. We have a support system built in that can help her and hold her hand. And we have the oncological social worker who can do that also. So it's info. Our email is info@ellensrun.org. Our website is ellenhermanson.org. And our phone number is 631-907-1952. And we would love to see everyone at the gala. You don't have to wear great shoes because we want you to dance. We want you
Oh,
to come hungry, and we want you to come willing to spend. We have a great live auction. And of course, we have a paddle raise. And every penny we make stays in the community, except for $5,000, which supports the Ellen Hermanson Memorial Symposium in New York City. Other than that $5,000, every single penny stays here. It does not leave. And I
I
think.
just want you to know that you're doing Ellen's work for her, and the
Thank
weight of her life continues on. And I love the thought of the warmth of the community, because you, Julie Ratner, are the community. And I'm so delighted to have had this time to talk with you, to be inspired by you, and to understand the power of one person has made such a difference in so many people's lives. So carry on your great mission and congratulations. The Ellen Hermanson Foundation thanks to Julie Ratner.
Vicki, thank you so much. Thank you.
This is Victoria Schnepps saying, see you next time. Bye now.